Michael, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
The obvious question, what attracted you to Portsmouth Football Club?
Well, it starts back when I was looking at football in general. I come out of media. We have television shows and movies and things, and I've noticed, not alone, I'll say, that you can get almost anything today on demand. Even news is almost a commodity. But what isn't a commodity is sports. You have to be there live. So I'm into content. I've always been into content. And it seems to me the most interesting content going forward is sports. And then I looked at the world situation, and football seems to be the sport of the world. Between the Bundesliga and the Premier League and La Liga and all these leagues now being on U.S. television, Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, Americans are watching international football. My 9-year-old granddaughter knows every player on Portsmouth through the FIFA game. Pretty obvious that to not see the appeal. So we looked. We looked in Europe. Seems to be the best football is in Europe. The best football in Europe seems to be in the UK. We looked at the various different possibilities. I like the idea of building up. Portsmouth is a historic team, 120 years old, FA champions, Premier League, a fan base that's unbelievable. I don't see anything like that in the U.S. The passion, the emotion, the team, the club is part of one's family here. And I came to a game in the fall, and it was amazing. And even Pompey getting third place in the fourth division, getting promoted, was like it was the end of World War II in excitement. It was just like miraculous. So I think I've selected, if it happens, a club with the most heart, a club that could use me, maybe. Family and fans owned is attractive to me, that kind of support. And it seemed natural. Now, from being natural to getting it done is a long road. But I think we're getting toward the end of that road, and maybe it will happen.
What would be your vision for Portsmouth Football Club?
Well, would to be competitive, to have I love Fratton Park. It has that feel that I saw when I first went to see Arsenal when my son was in school in London, and you were close to the pitch, and you could hardly hear yourself think from the excitement. So that's why Portsmouth. There's a significant amount of work to be done. The stadium is an antique. If you've ever had an antique house or had to renovate, you realize how difficult that is, but then how much heart it has, how much taste it has. So I love that environment. I love being in a city. I like the idea of a naval city. I like the idea of a city with a real history and culture. And now I just have to see if I can make it happen and if the fans want it to happen.
How do you intend to take Portsmouth forward as a football club, progress them effectively up the leagues?
Well, discipline, consistency, listen to the CEO, listen to the manager, be reasonable, don't panic, don't over promise, don't under promise, concentrate on the pitch. Yes, it's very important to have a great academy, and it's important to have a great stadium, and it's great to have a great operation, but what really has to happen is a great operation on the field. Winning always helps. The rest comes and will come. So going forward, we'll be concentrating on improving the academy. We'll be obviously making the stadium safe and improving that over time. And then trying to always have a better team than anybody else in the league in which you're in.
And how will you do that? Obviously, you've pledged £10 million equity straight away, but as we all know, in football, money can be used up very quickly. How do you intend to progress the club?
A lot of praying. That'll be the first thing. The next thing will be, obviously, the investment.
And coming from you?
Yes. My family alone. We've already committed to a certain amount, obviously, to continue on this track. there'll be a lot more that needs to be invested. We have to improve the stadium. We have to improve and encompass some more land for the academy. We have to have a better, or not better, but a larger staff, scouting and all the rest. We have to just do it better than anybody else. And we have to do it honestly and with a lot of transparency. And I think the fans in this particular city are very helpful. I intend to have a strong, run it actually from here, with a heritage and advisory board made of the people who have already invested, listening to them, a lot of discussion about, you know, ticket pricing and players and coaches and all the rest of it. I mean, obviously, as the big investor, we'll make the final decisions, but it will be made after a lot of cooperation and thought with the people that live here.
Portsmouth supporters have had, I'm sure you know the history, have had a tough few years, going back 5, 6, 7, or 8 years. They've had owners that have caused the club problems. What would you say to fans that would say, why should I trust Michael Eisner in charge of our football club?
Well, it's amazing to me that the previous 4 or 5 owners even got approved. So that's not Portsmouth's fault. That's a bigger issue. The only reason that I may qualify is after talking to them and listening to me, going through my history of ABC, Paramount, Disney. We had pretty strong cultural properties. I would say the only fans that are more maniacal than Portsmouth fans are Disney fans. I understand how to deal with people that care. I care. I love that enthusiasm. I love the drama of it. But at some point, they have to make a decision if they want to move forward. I think I'm a reasonable choice. I think they have to decide whether I'm a reasonable choice or they have some other choice or other direction. I hope they choose me and my family. That's why I'm here. If they don't, that's also a reasonable way to go. But I think I have auditioned already, and that has to stand.
Is the offer you've made effectively a take-it-or-leave-it offer? If they rejected it, would you come back with a different offer, or is this a take-it-or-leave-it offer you put down?
Well, I hate the words take-it-or-leave-it. That I never use those in business because that's a little rough. Although I really have gone to a degree, I mean, not to a degree, I've gone as far as I'm going to go. Does that say take it or leave it? I don't know. I don't mean it in that sense. I have analyzed what it's going to take financially. It is daunting. It is not just the acquisition of the team. That is the least daunting. It is the stadium. It is the academy. It is the pitch. It is all the way I'm used to serving public. Coming out of Disney, we're interested in everything, every detail, every seat, every piece of food, every way you're greeted. That's not inexpensive. I'm just trained that way. So it's daunting. And we've made an offer which I think is completely fair, completely consistent with what you would make with the account, with the amount of investment I'm making, the kind of offer you make. So I hope the fans and the investors see it that way. If they don't see it that way, they have an alternative, which is not ridiculous. So if that's the way they want to go, that's fine.
Just a final couple of questions. You obviously said you're buying 100% of the club. The Supporters Trust won't retain a stake or a place on the board. Can you just explain that one? I know there are certain supporters out there that would like to see the Supporters Trust retain a portion of the club.
Well, there are two different questions. One is, it's just inappropriate when I'm investing this much to have an investor retain a portion of the club. And also it wouldn't work because if I'm going to be putting money in all the time. Every time you put money in, that means the ownership of the other people gets reduced. So if it keeps getting reduced and reduced and reduced, it's a cycle. It's just paperwork and difficult. So for that reason, the reason I think it's inappropriate, I want 100%. I'm creating something much more effective, I think, than having one person come to California where our board will be, my family is the board, by having a heritage and advisory trust in Portsmouth, which will really deal with the CEO and us, but all the issues, issues about the players, issues about pricing, and those issues end up with a financial analysis of those issues, which will come to me. And of course, I'll come here anyway. Having six people in the weeds rather than one person who on occasion he comes to California is much more effective. And the my office in California, which will be the board, so to speak, is a private office. We deal in all of our finances, and I just think it's awkward to have any stranger in the room. That does not mean that we will not have six, not strangers, but six friends of Portsmouth that are there all year long.
Just a final kind of multi-part one. Will you be retaining Mark Catlin as chief executive of the club? Will Paul Cook remain the manager? And how involved will you be in the day-to-day running?
Well, one of the things that I found very attractive about Portsmouth is Mark Catlin. I think he's excellent. I've met a lot of managers in my day of different businesses, and he seems really first rate. So although, because I don't own it, I haven't talked, you know, economics, but he and I have both agreed that we'd like that to continue. I leave the decision about the manager up to him. I know he wants to keep Paul Cook. I would support that, of course. And I think they go forward with a strong team.
And just a final one, your effective day-to-day involvement, or how will you, how often will you come over? How will you be involved in Portsmouth if the purchase goes through?
People write about me as a micromanager, which I'm not. I would say the word micromanager equals good manager. I am into the details, but luckily I have three sons who are probably better, smarter, better educated than I am, who will be more on the line. And we're going to leave a lot of this up to the CEO. We'll be there. I'll be a cheerleader. I'll come a lot. My son who lives in New York will come a lot. But this will be run by the team.